You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
It's hard to believe in some ways that it's been 3 years since November 26th of 2008 when 10 gunmen laid siege to the city of Mumbai in India. They arrived by boat from Karachi, Pakistan, and for 3 days launched a whole series of attacks on 2 5-star hotels, a train station, and a small Jewish hostel. More than 160 people were killed, more than 300 injured. People there call it India's 9/11. And the mastermind behind the attacks was an American citizen named David Headley. He spent more than 2 years planning the attacks. None of the gunmen had been to Mumbai before, but Headley had. He lived there, and he even honeymooned at one of the targets, the luxury Taj Hotel.
You know, if you go through old Bollywood films, there's always one white guy who is inflicting some vile hardship on poor peasants or, you know, innocent street pavement dwellers and stuff. And we all grew up with that one evil guy who always wore a suit and hung around at expensive hotels. David Headley is that guy.
That voice there is Praveen Swamy. He's diplomatic editor at the Daily Telegraph, and he's speaking in a new Frontline documentary called A Perfect Terrorist. Joining us now is the producer of A Perfect Terrorist, Tom Jennings. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also Sebastian Rotella, senior reporter at ProPublica, which helped on this documentary. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning.
So this title intrigues me. Why is David Headley a perfect terrorist as opposed to Osama bin Laden? Are they both perfect?
David Headley is a perfect terrorist. Let's clarify. He's not the, but he is a perfect terrorist because he has a wonderful cover. He's an American citizen. And he presents well. He has the face of an American. He speaks fluent English. He can speak many different languages, and he can insinuate himself into any culture over in India and Pakistan with a lot of ease.
Well, Sebastian, let me ask you. I want to play this clip from Mark Sageman, who is an ex-CIA case officer that you spoke with, and he describes another reason why Headley might be, as you say, a perfect terrorist.
What you see in the Headley case is a constancy. Whether he's a drug dealer, whether he works for the DEA, Lashkar-e-Toiba, or ISI, you see the same pattern all over.
And that pattern is?
The pattern is risk-taking. He wants to live for the moment. He is not above taking crazy risks, such as always going back and forth between Pakistan and India. It's almost like he's taunting people, showing them, you know, he's great. He's got numerous wives, girlfriends on the side. He loves the game. He loves the game.
So, Sebastian, was it this, the risk-taking, the game playing, that do you think made Headley so effective?
I think it's certainly one of the things that drives him, and his incredible agility and to manipulate and to juggle allegiances. I think people's strengths are wrapped up in their weaknesses, though, and his risk-taking also sometimes put him in danger. I think the other element to remember, the idea of a perfect terrorist, plays off the phrase a perfect spy. The thing that made Headley also particularly effective and unique in the recent history of terrorism is that he worked simultaneously for this Pakistani terrorist group and for Pakistani intelligence, which there's strong evidence played a direct role in the Mumbai attack. So you have a guy who's both a terrorist and a highly trained spy.
We're talking about the new Frontline documentary called A Perfect Terrorist, which is about the 2008 Mumbai attacks. And that was Sebastian Rotella, senior reporter at ProPublica, which helped on the reporting for this documentary. Tom Jennings, producer of the documentary. Let's talk about some of the difficulties in making this and in filming in some of the places where you needed to film. Was that problematic?
Yeah, you know, when you make a documentary, it's always a difficult. That's the hardest part sometimes, getting into the places that you need to document. And this was no exception. I'd say it was somewhat exceptional in the fact that there's a lot of people who just don't want to talk about this. Anybody who's come into contact with David Headley has a certain sense of his toxic nature, and they don't want to re-experience it in some ways. But there are actually places that we got into, besides some of the people, that nobody else has filmed in. Chabad House, the Jewish community and synagogue center that was attacked, where a terrible, dramatic siege went down, a hostage siege took place. Nobody's filmed there since that siege. And it was a very dramatic and moving experience as we walked through the pockmarked building that's just kind of a shell of what it once was. Very, very mysterious and moving.
Tom Jennings, what do you make of the ideology of Mr. Headley? Is he someone who basically just worked in the spy world in South Asia, being able to particularly work for both the ISI and Lashkar al-Taiba and being a double agent? Was it the excitement of this undercover world, or did he have a specific ideological kind of motivation here?
I'll put my two cents in, but I think that's a great question for Sebastian. I think that David Headley, my perspective on David Headley is that his ideology is David Headley. He has an amazing capacity to further himself, and he takes on a guise. Whatever guise is absolutely necessary and needed at that particular moment, he will take it on, and he will get access to what he needs to get.
Sebastian, did you want to handle that question also?
Well, I think that's what Tom said is very true. I mean, certainly what's interesting about Headley is the way he embraces an ideology and embraces allies and then is able to turn on them. So he was a fervent, you know, Lashkar militant. He hated India, espoused a lot of the Pakistani nationalism and Islamic extremism that Lashkar and then Al-Qaeda, which he later worked for, espoused. But when he got arrested and it came time to turn on them, he did not, you know, like some of the guys in Guantanamo, refused to talk. He immediately gave up everything. So there is this mercenary element, as sincere as his ideology seems at moments along the way.
You know, this documentary also includes comments from people who warned U.S. authorities about David Headley. Those warnings were not heeded, obviously. And I wonder if maybe the United States and Pakistan also has learned something from how to identify what you call a perfect terrorist from David Headley. Sebastian?
Well, I think, yes. I mean, I think one of the things that becomes true in the case is that he didn't fit the profile, if there is, you know, that there shouldn't be a profile. In other words, I mean, he was a guy who was older. He was American. He was a businessman. A lot of jihadis are in the 20s. He was in his 40s. And I think one of the other things is that Lashkar, with the focus we've had on Al-Qaeda, there was sort of a lack of attention and a lack of concern about Lashkar, which was, in fact, a dangerous group on a global stage a long time before people realized it. So both in terms, you know, I think that there was a realization that he needed to be focused on better. But there's still a lot of questions about his ability to repeatedly evade these warnings through the years.
Sebastian Rotella, senior reporter at ProPublica, which co-produced this documentary, and Tom Jennings is the director and producer of A Perfect Terrorist, a new Frontline documentary that airs tonight on local PBS stations.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.